Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This hour, Merlone and Arcand is brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork.
We're back to Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
All right, a couple of updates real quick. Again, as we mentioned before, USA, England, they play to a 0-0 draw. So in England, heavily favored, USA kind of evens that up, 0-0. And as far as the Boston Bruins go, we mentioned it earlier, they're down 2-0 at home against the Carolina Panthers in the first period. And then the second period, David Krejci had a goal from Pastrnak and Zacha. And then the third period, Krejci with his eighth, again, from Zacha and Foligno. And it got this thing to overtime where there was a penalty and a power play goal by David Pastrnak.
Too many men on the ice from Carolina in overtime.
And it was a bad too many men, too. Yeah. It wasn't like guy tried to hop off and the puck hit him, one of those kind of things, like an unfortunate one. No, it was just four guys running around the ice. It was really bad. And the Bruins have now won 12 straight home games to start the year. NHL record, correct?
Yeah, that is an NHL record. That's the best start at home that any team has ever had in the history of the NHL, which, Lou, as you know, goes back a ways.
Goes back a ways. Yes, it does. And as we mentioned before, Swayman ends up getting the win because Linus Ullmark, who started this game, came out of the game after kind of, a little scuffle in front of the net. He was down on the ground, made some beautiful saves, but waiting to hear maybe some details on what exactly why Linus Ullmark left that game. So we'll keep you updated there, but Swayman comes in. The Bruins take care of business in overtime against the Carolina Panthers, 3-2. Well, the New England Patriots did not take care of business last night.
Carolina Panthers. I was like, that sounds wrong. Why does that sound wrong? And then I was like, no, it is the Carolina Panthers.
I'd love to see the Panthers on the ice.
Me too.
I would love to see, like, Shaq Thompson. Is it, like, you know, these guys, like, on the ice. Baker Mayfield be a pain in the ass. Carolina
DJ
Panthers.
Moore. Yeah.
All right. All right, the Patriots. I wanted to play a little Bill Belichick because we were talking about before. As happy as Patriot fans were to finally seeing just a functional offense, there were still huge concerns about the red zone. Bill Belichick was asked about that after the game.
Good morning, Bill. Wasn't quite like last week where the red zone drives started moving backwards, but 0-for-3, I get it into the end zone. Is there something philosophically you think that has to change, or do you find it game to game? I don't know what it was last night.
Yeah, well, we lost yardage on the reverse. There was the end of the half drive and the drive after Thorne's catch. So, yeah, obviously we got to do a better job there. Not any one thing, just in general. There are different circumstances, different plays, but we just got to do a better job.
So the red zone, is this probably the biggest spot, Arcan, where the play calling is being exposed?
Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. And I think that makes sense. Like, that tracks. You know, you're talking about guys who aren't really all that well-versed in this sort of thing. And when is it the toughest probably to call an offense, to run an offense? When the field's short. When you don't have as much space to sort of run different plays and do different things and see what works and what doesn't. When you're in the red zone and you only have 20 yards and that's it, and the defense only has 20 yards to defend, that's when you really have to sort of show off your chops as an offensive coordinator and, you know, call the right plays and get the right guys there and have the quarterback trust that when he throws the ball, it's going to be in the right window. And they don't have any of that. I mean, they don't. It's improving, I'd say. The offense is improving in terms of moving the ball. Even in that Jets game where they didn't score a touchdown, what did everybody say? Well, at least they're moving the ball. And I kind of agreed with that. I was kind of like, yeah, you know, that's progress. They're moving the ball. They're not finishing drives, but they're moving the ball. They finished a couple of drives, but not in the red zone, because they can't finish in the red zone because for whatever reason, that's just, and I think the reason's pretty obvious now, but like, that's not something that these coaches are well-versed enough in to be good at. And that's it.
Yeah, and I would say that probably offensive coordinators and offenses talk about the importance of obviously scoring seven, right? And getting in the red zone and scoring touchdowns and not settling for field goals. And most coordinators will probably say it's the toughest area to move the ball, right? Defenders, not much of a field. Safeties aren't 20 yards off the ball. They're right in front of you. You know, how do I get guys open? They tried early in the year just sort of like jump balls to Devontae Parker, right? 50-50 balls. And it's like, okay, that's great, but how are you scheming against teams from the 5-7 yard line to get a guy wide open? Are you moving out on the pocket? Are you hitting guys like to slip a little tight end out in the flat? Yeah. Like the lack of creativity, I believe, is an issue where Matt Patricia and this offense is getting exposed more than anything. I want to play Mac Jones. I mean, we talked to him on Monday, and he was talking about the struggles in the red zone, something that he learned as a very young kid that's trying to kind of bring along to the New England Patriots where he thinks they could help him. This is what Mac Jones had to say about him.
I think I learned something, you know, actually on a college recruiting visit. I think it was at University of Kentucky, and they were kind of struggling. This is when I was really young, but they were kind of struggling in the red zone in previous years, and their thing was like flip the switch. So like when you start getting into that like fringe red area, like flip the switch. This is when you need to really pick it up, and I kind of utilized that at Alabama a little bit too, and obviously I feel like that will help here. So whenever you get to that spot, it's like, all right, let's play our best football right here. You know, in some teams it might be third down, flip the switch. But, you know, right now I think that's our biggest area where we need to flip the switch and make something good happen. So
that's what he said. First off, it was funny because when he said that to us, I was like, University of Kentucky?
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're pretty good this year.
Are they?
Yeah, like they're decent. You know, sure. At least they're like, I think, 6-4, 7-4, something like that. You know, they're competitive. But haven't they usually suck?
Yeah.
So they're going to take something out of what the University of Kentucky talks about, a team that hasn't been good in college football for some time. But anyways, flipping the switch, and I just think they're not capable of it because of the play calling. And again, they move the ball at times, and then when you do get into the red zone, I don't know. I don't know if they're sort of, now all of a sudden we're in the red zone, everybody freaks out to where it's like, okay, this is where we really struggle. Everybody focus. And next thing you know, it's like they line up wrong. Oh, there's a false start because everybody's almost putting too much pressure on it. But it's got to be the lack of creativity from the play calling. I don't know how you felt about that reverse. I don't know if I just, you know, I always believe like even like sometimes in baseball, I'm like it's results driven. It's like, why don't they bunt more when they put a bunt down and it doesn't work out? We scream and yell. Why did they even try bunting?
Right.
So it's like it's all about results driven. I don't know if I'm just pissed off that reverse was loss of seven because of the result, or if I just think it's a horrible play, which I like to think it's just a horrible play down there.
It looked like a bad play, and it looked like one of the few times that you saw the Vikings really get, like, penetration, you know, in the backfield. They didn't get a lot of that. Mac Jones wasn't really running around that much, and even on the runs that got stopped, it wasn't in the backfield that often. There was a couple that were in the backfield, but that was one of the ones where you were like, okay, they were all over this. They were right on top of this. They maybe knew it was coming. Maybe they gave something away. You know, we're only a couple of weeks removed from Mac Jones giving away plays, right? From him telegraphing plays and tipping plays and stuff like that. So maybe that was one instance of that happening. I don't know. I didn't think there was anything wrong with the execution of the play. You know, the guy ran the right way. He tossed it. The other guy got it, went the other way. They just broke through the line. So, you know, maybe the blocking wasn't good enough. I tend to give the offensive line the benefit of the doubt in that game yesterday because I feel like that was their best game, too. It was Mac's best game. I think it was also the offensive line's best game.
Yeah, I wonder, too, and this is where I'm sure I do look forward to, like, Dan Orlovsky's breakdown of a bunch of things. I think you maybe see some like the chop block or whatever the hell it was with Trent Brown and Danelle Hunter on the 3rd and 7. But this reverse, what I would like to do, and hopefully, I don't know, I'm sure he can talk about it more, like the All-22 crew. Like, how was it set up? Right? Like you know, a reverse like that, so was there a setup for it? Was there a previous look, a run to the right that they had run previously and it had worked so efficiently that, now all of a sudden the Vikings are like, oh, here it is again. Like, isn't that the idea of setting up reverses? Isn't that sort of like the idea of like setting up trick plays to sort of see something, put it in your back pocket and say, you know what, we're going to take advantage of that here down the stretch or here
at
some
point. We can get everyone going this way and then boom, that'll leave the whole other side open because they've been leaning this way the whole game.
Right.
Something. I didn't notice that.
Did you notice how this guy over-pursued that play? Now they stopped us, but if we can get him to over-pursue it again, we could take advantage of it by running this.
Right.
But they came back with Za'Darius Smith side. And it was just like, you know, defensive ends, I don't know if that's a smart thing to do, but I don't know. It wasn't. Let me get back to Ken in the truck's got an opinion here on this reverse play that we're talking about. Go ahead, Ken.
Hey, how are we doing?
Hey, Ken.
Good, buddy.
Listen, that reverse, there's a time and place for everything, and that was not the time. The guy's only 15 yards from the end zone. It's too constricted.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about egg gut penetration. That's because they had like 10 near the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
So they had a safety rolled up. The corner was up close on Bourne. Let's call a reverse. He drops. He starts drifting backwards and then goes across the field. Well, he's screaming as he's running, reverse, reverse. All of a sudden, you got the other strong safety coming up. The linebackers are penetrating. If you pull that at the 50-yard line, you got a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wanted to do what would have been better maybe is a sweep where the guy runs tight along the line of scrimmage, not give them 15 yards to react.
Yeah. Ken, I'm sort of with you there, but I also think, like, we talk about the lack of creativity. They've not been successful in the red zone, so they tried something else. That's sort of what I think
that play was. Hey, give them credit for trying something new.
They tried something different. They know things in the red zone have been kind of stagnant, and they tried to do, you know, something that might catch them off guard, and that's what it was. And it didn't work, and fine. It, again, wasn't the end of the world, but it was an example of, you know, them, even though they were moving the ball and even though they were scoring points in that game, the red zone's still a problem.
But see, I agree with Ken, though, because when they ran that, it didn't work. My first thought was, like, is this really the place in the field you want to run this?
Mm.
As he said, you know, you're at the 50-yard line. Maybe you got two safeties 25 yards away.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or safety, you know, corners playing off. Everybody's like 10, 15 yards off. You know, when you do it from like the 15-yard line, like the safety's like 10 yards off.
Right.
Like everyone's up close and you run. So now you run to the right. So now everyone's pursuing, mm-hmm. you know. So now, you know, everyone is kind of seeing the run. It's like the entire team is in a, you know, a small area. And it's like, is that really the place that you thought you were going to get this thing done? No, red zone is still a factor. You went 0 for 3. You came into the league, 31st in the league in red zone efficiency. You can't score touchdowns. You faced a team in the Minnesota Vikings that were the worst defensive team in the red zone in the NFL. And you still went 0 for 3, which is just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
All right, listen, when we come back, I want to look around that league a little bit because a couple of games prior – to the New England Patriots playing the Buffalo Bills. Squeak went out against the Detroit Lions. And in the Odell Beckham Bowl, the Dallas Cowboys took down the New York Giants. And we're going to talk to Tommy Curran at 4:30 as well. It's Maloney and Arcan. Fourier is out. Mego is out. We're taking your calls, getting your reaction to this Patriot loss at 617-779-7937. We'll do it all next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download.
Back to Merloni, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Mac Jones has embraced Matt Patricia. It feels like he's really helped him grow as a quarterback.
Jason Garrett last night in broadcast talking about how Mac Jones is embracing Matt Patricia. I'm not so sure about that yet. I'm not ready to go there.
He'll say it after the game.
Oh, he's
Matty P. He's a genius. He'll say it after every game.
He's been saying it all year.
No matter what the outcome is, he'll say that.
Yeah, and I think Mac Jones coming off of, I think, the best game of his career, quite frankly. 28 for 39, 70, almost 72% completion percentage, 382 yards. I know 40 of those came in that last few seconds, whatever, but still, 382 yards, two touchdowns. And as we mentioned before, like in his career now, he's gone over 300 yards. That was the fourth time in his career. Somebody in the text line said that last year against Cleveland was his best game. I disagree. They beat Cleveland 45-7. Mm. You know how easy that is? And he was 19 for 23 for 198 yards. Yeah, he threw three touchdowns and no picks, but yeah, it was 198 yards. That's a Mac Jones game last year. That's how Bill Belichick likes to win. But to have him go out there and throw for 382? Throw the ball
where you had to against a good offense that was putting up points. That's what we needed to see.
Yeah, they're putting up points. We got to put up points. Let's go back and forth. No picks, two touchdowns. No way. Buck 98 against Cleveland in a blowout? How could it be better in a blowout than he is in a tight game like this and still play at the level that he did?
I don't know.
I don't think it can be.
I thought last year that wasn't even his best game. I thought his best game was the Dallas game that they lost. I thought that was one of the games where I looked at Mac and was like, okay, this guy can play. You know, that was in that pass to Bourne. Remember that touchdown throw to Bourne?
The best part
and
of that,
a couple other. Yeah. Then they didn't give him the ball at the end. They kicked. But
the best part of that Dallas game was the pick six he threw.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh boy. And he came right back and threw that slant that went to the house. And you're like, all right. And that's what everybody kept talking about. Like, huh. Okay, look at him. You know, make a mistake, came back on the field and slung it.
Yep.
You know, and so that was a big moment. I thought he was good against Tampa, going head to head against Brady. I thought that was like a lot of emotions going on in that game. But last year, what were his best games? Somebody says Cleveland in a blowout. I guess you could look at Tennessee, threw for 310 yards, two touchdowns. That was kind of a blowout as well.
It was
against a bad football team, but that didn't, well, without their weapons, they're a bad football team. And then it was against the New York Jets, 300 yards, two touchdowns. Jets sucked. You beat them 54-13. So it's been an all blowouts. This was a tight game, and he played well. Only they couldn't finish the job in the red zone or in the fourth quarter especially. But
yeah.
Beggars can't be choosers.
But it does bring up that old question, which we've gone back and forth on here, which is, if the Patriots lose but Mac Jones has a good game, are you okay with that? And early on in the year, we were talking about that. We're late in the season now, and this team still has playoff aspirations, right? So maybe the answer's different now, but I remember thinking early on in the year, yeah, they can lose a game or two here so long as Mac looks like a real quarterback and the future of this team looks like a future with him in it, and he's going to keep getting better, and maybe, who knows, they'll be contending for a Super Bowl one of these years. You need to be on that track in order to be okay with a loss, and this was the first game this year where I felt like he was back on that track.
First off, my answer is yes.
Yeah.
100% yes. Because does anybody think they're a Super Bowl contender?
No.
Okay. So if you think they're a Super Bowl contender, you should care about wins and losses. Because you should care about getting home field in the playoffs. You should care about making the playoffs because you think you can do damage in the postseason.
Right.
I don't think you should think like that. So then how should you think? Number one, I want to be entertained. Okay, that's it. I want to be entertained.
You should be thinking, how can I entertain Loomer Loney?
That's it. That's what they should be thinking.
Thursday
night. And winning 10-3 against the Jets in a win did not entertain me.
No.
Like, did I entertain anybody? You got a W in the column of a team you don't think can win a Super Bowl, so who cares?
That game was like a trip to the dentist.
Yeah, I mean, so to me, I know people are like, oh, it's about wins and losses. Yeah, it has been over the years. It has been. Absolutely. You want home field. You want the number one seed. With this team, is it really about wins and losses? Or is it about Mac Jones showing you they can actually play at this level and play at a high level and actually improve? Is it that this offense can actually move the football? Is it that you're trying to find out who are the building blocks and who aren't? Like, you're watching this team right now, and he's saying, okay, maybe Hunter Henry sticks around. Jonnu Smith, when's your contract up? Aguilar, when's your contract up? I want to find out. I want more than Tyquan Thornton.
Mm.
I want more of him. I want to, you know, we loved him the first few weeks he came back. Where the hell's he been?
I'm starting to give up on him.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't want to give up on another wide receiver that they've taken
either.
Early in the draft.
But, man, that Pickens kid who got picked right after him is doing good in Pittsburgh, and Thornton's not doing much.
He looks real good. In other words, like, if Tyquan Thornton had 7-8 catches for 100 yards and you lose the football game, do you care?
I feel okay about that.
Me too, because you saw what Tyquan Thornton should be.
Future of the team.
So, Patriot fans, I'm curious. I'll throw that out to you. Is it more about the W's, or is it more about how Mac Jones looks? 617-779-7937, because I think Karkin and I are on the same page. It's about how this team looks. It's about how, you know, Mac Jones looks. And that's why when they beat the Jets 10-3 and we come in, and Corey is like, I feel like it's so negative.
Yeah.
Well, because to me, it's not about wins and losses. They can win three more games somehow, maybe sneak into the playoffs at 9-8. But
yeah, and get humiliated like last year. So what?
If you win three more games like you did against the New York Jets, and Mac Jones goes out there and throws a pick or two and doesn't look great, great, you're in the playoffs. You still don't know what the hell your quarterback is.
Right.
But if he goes out and plays the way he did last night, and you don't make the playoffs because you only win two more games or whatever, and you're 8-9, don't you feel better about that?
Definitely. But the other side of that coin is then you end up like Justin Herbert and the Chargers, right? Because Justin Herbert looks great, and that team can't get out of its own way. They can't win games. Like, they're not scaring anybody this year. And you look at them and say, well, they got a good offense with a good running back and two good receivers and a stud young quarterback in Justin Herbert. That team should be really good. And you sort of watch, and I think Chargers fans have been doing this, if there are any. Chargers fans have been watching them and going, you know, well, they lost the game, but man, Herbert looks great. The future's bright. Everything's great. You're 3 years into this, and it's still, well, you know, they still lost, but wow, Herbert still looks great. And eventually that stops meaning anything.
Well, how would you feel?
But we're not
about
there
it?
Now with the Patriots. Still, I think we're in that point with the Patriots where it's okay. You just can't rely on that over and over again for years like the Chargers are doing.
Well, see, I think it's a good point. But I would also sit there, you know, if you're a Charger fan, you're like, well, Mike Williams has been out.
Right.
Haven't had Keenan Allen there at all. My offensive line has been a mess. I've been, you know, defensively there's been some injuries. But I think to your point, Charger fans are still like, okay, if the team can get healthy, we've got our quarterback. And I think as a Patriot fan, you might sit there and say, well, I'm tired of seeing Nelson Aguilar do this or this player do that. And this player, and it's like, well, hold on, they're not part of the future. They're not part of this core.
Right.
What really matters is Mac Jones, what Ramondre Stevenson is doing. Hopefully Jacoby Myers is back. Hopefully Tyquan Thornton can show you. You know, that's what matters. That's the core.
Yeah. So but those other guys, the guys you just mentioned, were signed for big money to come here and produce now and make this team a playoff contender now. So the fact that they're on the outside of that looking in, I know maybe by the end of the season it'll be different, but right now they're outside the playoffs. The fact that they're trying to get back to that from last year is still, any way you slice it, regression. That's a regression from last season.
Yeah, but I would just like to see the approach more of like, you got to clean up a lot of things. You look like a poorly coached football team yesterday. You made way too many mistakes. So that obviously has to be cleaned up. But if Bill is sitting there saying, okay, you know, we might be able to sneak this game out if we kind of hold Mac back and we don't try to do too much. And, you know, because if we try to let him cook a little bit or we try to push it, you know, you might throw a pick and we might lose. No, I don't care. Let him go out there and push it. Let him go out there and make some plays down the stretch. Let him go out there and do his thing. And if it means sacrificing a win or so and not making the playoffs, who the hell wants to go into playoffs and be the seventh seed and get embarrassed anyway?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I would rather be about max development. I've always felt that way, that I'd rather be about max development than this year, because I just don't think they're a playoff winning team.
I don't either, but I do think this year should have been about something else. This year should have been about them taking that next step, because that's what they were last year.
But isn't that about next year? Isn't that what we're all talking about next year? Like,
sure.
Those free agents that they signed 2 years ago, that was to fill a talent gap that they had with the rest of the league.
Yeah, well, that was the idea. I don't know if it actually accomplished
it got them
idea,
to even, is my point. It got them to even. It didn't take them over the top. Like, you know, they needed tight ends. They drafted two. They both sucked.
Yep.
So they had to go and spend on tight ends.
They drafted N'Keal Harry, and he sucked, so they had to sign two receivers. Yeah.
They needed wide receivers.
Yep.
Yeah, Harry sucked, so they went out and got Aguilar and Bourne. Like, most teams had a pass rusher. They didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to go out and sign Judon. You know, and same thing you could argue with a guy like Jalen Mills, you know, like they knew they were going to need some corners. So I felt like they wouldn't sign those guys just to get to even on a talent level. They didn't put them over the top. Usually when you spend $180 million, Arcana kind of, it puts you over the top, right?
You bring in a Tyreek Hill, or you'd spend a lot of draft capital and bring in Devontae Add or something like that. That type of money for those type of players, I mean, at the time, it looked like a big spending spree, but now it just kind of looks like roster
and you know, the
filler.
Other thing, too, is like you spent all that money on those free agents without even knowing who your quarterback was going to be. Without even knowing that whether it was going to be a guy like Mac Jones or whether it was going to be a guy like Trey Lance, you know, or Justin Fields that was going to, like, take some time to develop. You did all that. Now that you know who your quarterback is, and now that you got some guys you can walk after 2 years, and now you've got a crap load of money, this next free agency, that's why this is about next year. This next free agency is now about finding guys that fit your offense, your defense, your wide receiver grouping, something that helps Mac Jones. You actually know who your quarterback is this year before you go out and spend money on tight ends and wide receivers like you did 2 years ago, which is still kind of ass backwards. Okay, well, listen, we're waiting for Tom E. Curran. He is going to hopefully join us here in a few minutes from NBC Sports Boston. Curious to see his take on this game. Saw him a little bit in that post game yesterday. While we wait, because I'm not so sure if Tommy
was he yelling at anybody about who's a good team and who's not a good team this time?
No. I think he was pretty good last night. And Holly was, you know, I don't know, Holly. They're all same thing. Everyone's excited by the way the offense actually performed,
right?
But disappointed in the defense and the special teams. You know, 4 days later, you won a football game based on defense and special teams. And 4 games later, you lost a football game because of defense and special teams. And Fourier says this all the time. Like that, you're a 500 team when those things happen.
Yeah.
Right? When those things happen. So sure. I don't even know if we've got him on right now because I want to get your thoughts on maybe some of the other games.
I go so far as to say that outside of the kick return, Marcus Jones's punt return, the special teams has been a mess for the last 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been really bad. Like that, a punt return is going to get everybody's attention, and it was exciting and
fun.
But
you still got Nick Folk.
They walked it off. Nick Folk's been good, but he was missing kicks in that Jets game. And, you know, the punting has been a disaster, and the coverage I don't think has been good. And they've been running into the punter every week for the last 2 weeks. So, like, all of that I think is just really messy. Like, that's uncharacteristically messy for them.
Well, the special teams, I don't understand the punting situation. I don't know what happened to Jake Bailey even before he got hurt. Maybe he was dealing with an injury the whole time. They're bringing this other guy. What the hell's his name? I don't even know.
Pilardi.
Yeah, Pilardi. And, you know, he had a couple kicks. I think he had one that was 56, but he had a couple in that 30 range where just sort of shanked it out of bounds. The coverage hasn't been great. Punting has been awful. But Marcus Jones has been spectacular. I want to get your take on some of these other games. The first game, Buffalo. They take down Detroit. Detroit ties the game with, 28 seconds to go. Josh Allen takes them down the field, a Bass field goal, and they win. So for a team like Buffalo, right now it's about winning football games. They're a little beat up. They lose Von Miller in this football game. But what was your take on that game? Is Buffalo beatable right now? Is that what you saw?
Well, I think that they're vulnerable. I don't know if they're beatable if you're the Patriots. I don't know if the Patriots are a team that can go out there and beat Buffalo. I think that, you know, they're a team that you can, that has been scouted enough and I think makes some mistakes defensively to be sure. And without Miller and some of their pass rush, Russo is the other guy, he's out. They have one more guy who's out too. I can't remember who. But
Tre'Davious White is back.
White's back, that's true. Tremaine Edmonds, maybe,
mm-hmm.
I think, is also out. So there's going to be some holes in that defense for sure. And hopefully the Patriots can do something to take advantage of it. And you remember even in that playoff game last year, Mac was okay in that playoff game. It wasn't really him. It was the defense could not get off the field. And what I'm more worried about right now with this Viking sort of matchup has taught me is that this defense hasn't really evolved much from last year. And when I see them go out there and, you know, on their heels against the Vikings, I just shudder to think about what Josh Allen and Diggs and Davis and the rest of those guys are going to
do. Yeah, you know, it's funny. You watch the Bills right now, and it just – and we've seen this before from very good football teams, if you go back in time and – you know, what's wrong with the Bills? What's wrong with Tampa? What's wrong with Kansas City? You know, like all the good teams at some point in the season, the Rams, the year they won the Super Bowl. What's wrong with Stafford? So there's always points in the season with very good teams we wonder if something's wrong. Doesn't feel right. Did it with the Patriots.
Right.
For many years when they were here too. Something seems off. And at the end of the year, they figure it out. And I expect the Bills to figure it out as well. But I do think they're vulnerable. That's a good word right now. Because offensively, it doesn't look like it's really clicking. And I don't know if Josh Allen's still dealing with some elbow issues. So given what I saw from the New England Patriots yesterday, made me think that they can stay in the game because offensively they can do some things.
Yeah, and they could maybe stay in the game against Buffalo, maybe. But at the end of a game like that, at the end of a game where it's like whoever gets the ball last is going to win this game, Buffalo can give the ball to Josh Allen and say, save us, Josh, win this game for us. And he'll go out and do it, and just like he did against Detroit.
And that's the difference.
That's a big difference.
And that's the difference, yeah. You know, because if you walk into a game like he did again here, like he did against Baltimore, two good teams that can put up some points, if you walk into the fourth quarter and the Buffalo Bills and it's a tie game where you're down three, this team hasn't shown that they know how to win. Those types of, do they know how to bully bad teams with awful quarterbacks? Yes. They've shown that the last 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
But to actually go toe-to-toe with a good team in the fourth quarter, down three, Josh Allen versus Mac Jones, and just the way this team seems to be making stupid mistakes and zero attention to detail, I don't believe they can win. I think they can be more competitive than we saw the last 2 years, the last two games of the season last year, but I don't think they can win this game.
Yeah.
Just because of that. They haven't shown me that they know what it takes to win football games.
Do you remember in 2019 when they went on that win streak and Brady kept saying how sad he was,
yeah,
how miserable he was?
Miserable 8-0 quarterback, a 9-0 quarterback in the league.
Mac hasn't been saying that, and he also hasn't played the whole year. He was out for part of it, but like, don't you get a sense that that's sort of the what we're yes. getting right now from him? With not just the offense, but with the defense too. I mean, you remember the defense, that was the Sam Darnold see ghosts year. You know, they also beat, I think, Washington and the Giants and these other bad teams, and they won 8-9 in a row. And then and they had Antonio Brown and all that other crazy stuff happen. But, like, you get to the end, and all of a sudden they're going to Miami, and they're playing, you know, the usual suspects down the stretch. And that was the first year you really saw it, and you really thought, oh, man, like, this defense that we thought was so good is really – paper tigers here. You know, they're really getting exposed as the year goes on. Then it happened again the year at, well, not so much the year after that. Definitely happened last year, and it looks like it's starting to happen again this year.
Yeah, it's the last 3 years, and the defense kind of been showing itself. You know, but again, against that Buffalo Bills team, you can't be as bad as you are in the red zone. And the funny thing is I think offensively, Patriot fans, everybody was so excited, including myself, to see this offense actually look like a functioning offense.
I know.
That you're willing to overlook like the things that it takes to win football games, like red zone, which is where they still suck, 0-3, you know? And it's like years ago, it was like, those were the most important things. Now we can't even get to that because I'm just so happy to see them move the football. And to go up against the Buffalo Bills, field goals aren't going to cut it. You're going to have to be better in the red zone. And more importantly, you have not shown in the last few years you know how to win a game like this.
Yeah.
You really don't. You know, mistakes, you're going to run into a punter. You know, you're going to go off sides on 3rd and 12. You're going to stupid, useless face mask penalties on a couple of times. Late hits, wide receivers, whatever it might be. Like, you repeatedly show that.
Don't get out of bounds.
Yeah.
Right?
You can't get out of bounds. Yeah. Can't manage the end of the first half. That was ugly. That was really ugly. What'd you think of the Odell Beckham Bowl? Cowboys, Giants. If you're Odell Beckham, why would you go to the Giants?
I don't know.
To be the number one wide receiver. But do you want that, though, after missing as much time as he had to come in and be like the number one guy to go back to New York? And if it doesn't go great, Giants fans are like, yeah, that's why we get rid of you in the first place. Like Daniel Jones or Dak Prescott, be a comfy number two behind C.D. Lamb,
mm-hmm.
Michael Gallup, the running game, the defense. Why wouldn't you go to Dallas?
Yeah, because think about where he was last really effective with the Rams when he was the number two behind Cooper Kupp. And had a lot less pressure on him. He was great before he got hurt. He was great in that setting. And I think Dallas is much closer to that than the Giants are. The Giants, he'd be the primary guy. I don't know if he's a primary number one in the league anymore. And after all the time he's missed, I think that's really dubious to even assume that. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'd say Dallas 100 times out of 100 if I'm Odell Beckham.
So you hit your Thanksgiving parlay.
Bet your ass I did.
We did yesterday. You had... What'd you have? You had the under and Bills
I had
Lions?
Under Bills Lions. It was over under was 54, and they scored 53, so boom, right
check
there.
Check it off.
The Dallas Giants game, I had the Giants covering the 10, which I didn't realize they did.
Backdoor.
Until this morning, because I shut that game off. I said, they're getting their ass kicked. I'm going to take the L here. And then everybody at my house left, you know? Like, yeah. I had all these people over. They're all leaving. I'm not watching the game. I just assume I lost it. And, I had Vikings minus 2.5, so I hit all three. So you're welcome there. If you followed me, you're welcome.
There you go. And I tell you what, if you followed us, you're doing pretty good, too, because Fourier hit it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Fourier had the Lions plus 9.5. He had the Giants plus 10, and he had the Vikings minus 2.5 in that game. Now, here's
the thing. Big Thursday for the Christian.
He screwed up my world because I went last, because that was my parlay.
Okay.
But to be different, I took the under in the Cowboys-Giants game.
The contrarian, though.
And I got backdoored.
That's tough.
Save that drop. So that was a tough one. Mago, by the way, went 0-3.
Oh.
We won't remind her on Monday.
No,
I swear I won't remind her.
Gentlemen, don't do
that. No. The last thing I would ever do is remind Mego
that she went 0-for-3 in the Thanksgiving parlay. I would never in a million years do that to Megan Ottolini.
Should we start a hashtag fade Mega?
Yes. Yeah. No, although our gambling gal has been pretty good. Mutt versus the show. Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, we got Mutt coming in today, by the way.
Oh, yeah, right.
We got to pick the last one. So yesterday, Mutt versus the show, Foyer and Mutt both correctly picked the Minnesota Vikings. He's going to join us at about 5:30. We're going to pick a couple of more games for the weekend, continue the Mutt versus the show, give you some more winners, because I tell you, both the show and Mutt have been on fire. We've done pretty well this year. So if you're listening to us, you've made some money here on Sundays. All right, when we come back, I want to dive more into some of our takeaways, main takeaways from this game. Patriots lose to the Vikings 33-26 Thanksgiving night. I want to get into the offense. Were you satisfied? I want to get into the defense. Did they come back to earth? We'll do it all. And at some point, hopefully, maybe even hear from Tommy Kern. We'll see what happens. We'll do it next.
WEEI, WEEI, New England Sports Original.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Right back to it. Back to Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Now, we got to get into Mac Jones here because, again, I think it's best game he's played in his career. It was fantastic, I thought. 28 for 39, 382 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, had a quarterback rating of 119.8. And the reason why I say it's his best game of his career, we were pointing out some of these other games, Arcan, that, you know, the numbers, you know, two touchdowns, three touchdowns, 300 yards, did a few of them. This is his fourth of his career.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all in blowouts.
Right.
You know what I mean? They were all like, whether it was Cleveland or the Jets or Tennessee. And again, Tennessee wasn't Tennessee, right? They didn't have anybody. I mean, it was Tannehill, no Derrick Henry, no A.J. Brown, no
and those
Jones.
Two backup running backs still ran for like 200 yards.
It was a big fumble by one of them, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think even like linebackers, they had like three or four like defensive guys in the front seven out. So it was like skeleton crew.
Mm.
This was a real game. You know, this was tight game back and forth. This was close game in the fourth quarter. Although I wasn't crazy about this offense in the fourth quarter, I think it had a lot to do with them just sort of not knowing how to win these games. By far the best game we've seen him. And I think you and I aren't guys that really are all in on Mac. But you got to admit, and I will, that last week I thought he was better. It was the best we've seen.
I was on the Zappy train 2 days ago.
Yeah, and now this weekend, I think it's the best I've seen, the best game he's played.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think that's it's hard to dispute that. And this was an important game, and he rose to the occasion. It was a game where you could say, you know, Mac Jones did what it took to win. There's been a lot of times, a lot of games, a lot of weekends where you come out of it and say, well, they lost, but Mac's not the reason they lost. Or they won that game, but they won it in spite of Mac. Mac had an imprint on this game, a positive one. For the first time in a while, you looked at it and said, wow, you know, Mac Jones, not only was he not the problem, he kept him in it. You know, he was really strong, I think, in leading some of those drives. He didn't get in the end zone every single time, and I think finishing drives is still something that he needs to work on and needs to get better. But, man, that's a high-powered Vikings offense, and Mac kept right in pace with them the whole game.
It was good to see.
Yeah.
You know, because we were questioning whether it was in there or not. And not just by him. I admit, you know, we're getting on Mac, whatever, but the play calling is atrocious. The offensive line has not been good. The offensive line was good in this game. Play calling still questionable because they don't know what to do in the red zone. But I think you sort of overlook the red zone. I found myself like overlooking the little things it takes to win a football game because I was just so excited that they were moving the ball, that he was taking shots downfield, that they looked like a functional offense. That I did. I sort of overlooked like the fact that they still suck in the red zone and right. Can't score seven. Like, normally, if this is like a championship year, we'd sit there, we would be ripping this team for being awful in the red zone. Now, we are, but it's sort of pushed down a little bit because there's so many other things that you need to see from them first before you start worrying about those things, right?
Yeah, definitely. And even, you know, even though they were bad in the red zone, they were able to score touchdowns outside of the red zone.
Right.
Which is a major step forward. I mean, it is. Like, that's for Mac Jones, you know, that bomb to Aguilar to score the first touchdown. I saw that and I gasped. I was like, wow, that's, you don't see that every day. You know, the first drive, the first quarter, and for him to be slinging it like that confidently with time to throw was such a major improvement that, yeah, you're right. Like, something like the red zone, while you want it to get better, you sort of think, okay, well, one thing at a time. Right now, he's moving the ball. He's scoring points. He's, you know, finding guys downfield. This is all big improvement. So
it is. You know, it is. And
it's
I
not
think,
perfect yet, but yeah.
But the issue I have, and I think you agree with this, is – after the best game of the season, and arguably the best game of his career, that's when you get the people that are like, so now do you think he's a top 15 quarterback?
Yeah. Shame on you, Bailey Zappi.
I thought he sucks. Yeah. You still want Zappi in there? Now what do you think of Mac, huh? You hate her? Like, it's one of those, it's like, okay, he had a career game, and you're coming at me with, now do I have him in the top 15? Here's your answer. No.
Yeah.
It was 1 week.
By the way, they lost.
Yeah. Like, it was 1 week.
Yeah.
Like, ask yourself this. How many top 15 quarterbacks can you name that you never remember their team winning because of them? How many top 15 quarterbacks have never, with 5 minutes to go in a game, brought their team down to win? Like, why would I want to put him there now? It was encouraging. It was really good. I'd like to see more of it.
Mm-hmm.
But can we slow down with everything?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, when was the game Mac Jones played that you said he won the game for you? He hasn't.
No.
As a matter of fact, I was looking, I think I saw this tweet, Boston Sports Inf had it, that when Mac Jones throws for 260 yards or more, the Patriots are 2-7. And when he throws for less than 260 yards, they're 12-4.
That's such a crazy number. That's such a crazy
stat. That's insane.
Yeah.
And it just tells you how Bill wants to win games.
It tells you how he wants to win games, and it also tells you that they don't throw that much with Mac Jones unless they have to, unless they're behind,
yeah,
right? Like, if they're behind and they have to throw and they have to do it, then Mac's going to get those yards. But that's not the game plan. The game plan isn't for Mac to throw a lot, ever. I mean, that's just not the way that they set it up. And when they win because the defense holds the other team to a small amount of points, and Mac Jones can get by with 220 yeah, yards or whatever it is.
I would say from last year, yeah, to this year, the 27 games that the Patriots have played, now Mac missed a couple of them, sent three of them, whatever, so now you're down to 24. More than half of those games you played offenses that you knew sucked going into the game.
Hmm.
Like, you know, whether it was the Jets or the or Sam Ehlinger led Colts, or that stretch last year where you just looked around and said, oh my God, we're playing Matt Ryan, but there's no Cordarrelle Patterson, there's no Calvin Ridley.
Yeah.
Like, he's got nothing. All we got to do is worry about Kyle Pitts. Or, you know, you played the Titans with the Chiefs. They have no Derrick Henry, they have no A.J. Brown or Julio Jones. What do we got to worry about? Who's their tight end? You know, it's like, yeah. So that's how they want to win football games.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to crap on Mac. He had a great game. I'm just saying, slow down. That when everyone's like, now you think he's top 15? No. No, I don't.
Now I think for the first time all year,
but I think he had a great game.
I think he might be better than Bailey Zappi. Like, that's where I am right now. He's surpassed Bailey Zappi, both statistically and by the eye test, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you said on Wednesday. You said, until he passes Bailey Zappi in touchdowns this year.
Right.
And he did. He finally is over.
He did. He's up to 6, and Zappi's stuck on 5 because he hasn't played in a while. But also, it took him an additional 8 weeks to do it. You know, that's another important factor here. And again, you know, he finally had a game as good as Zappi's game against Cleveland. That doesn't mean I'm ashamed of pining for Zappi. No, I'm not ashamed of that at all.
Are you still on the Zappi wagon right now?
Not so much right now. I'm going to give Mac, because I think Mac did make an improvement in that last Jets game, even though they didn't score. I thought he moved the ball better, and this was a step forward for Mac.
And let me tell you why.
So I want to see him keep progressing.
Let me tell you why. Like, Zappi people, whatever, and, you know, like, it's still sort of, it's inside of me somewhere. I know that. Like, Zappi still, I still have feelings. But the reason why I'm not talking about him is because Mac finally showed you, you know, finally had a great game.
Yeah.
If Zappi came in and played great for those 2 weeks, like you talked about, and then Mac jumped in against Chicago and New York and Indy and New York in this game and played great, you wouldn't be talking about Bailey Zappi.
No, I would not say a word about
him. No, it's just because he hasn't performed like he did. You know, last week was good. This week was outstanding. Let me go to Paul in Providence. Paul, go ahead, buddy.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thank you all for taking my call. You know, Christian, I love your show. I can't wait to get another one, to be honest with you. But I want to talk about the game on Thursday.
Yep.
So, you know what? You know, I hate using the term moral victory, but it was a good loss. Mac did look good. You know, and but it's still a loss, and the defense let you down. But going forward now, you know, they always talked about after Thanksgiving, you have the identity of a team. I still don't see an identity with this team. I see a team that could possibly make the playoffs through ball control, defense, and a good running game. Max showing some, you know, ball control, like he can control the game. He's showing that he's not going to make the mistakes that he was making earlier in the year. But, I mean, is it enough? I want your opinion. Thanks, guys.
Paul, I would agree with you. I still don't know what the identity was, but this is not a moral victory Friday, I guess. I can't go there.
I don't consider it a moral victory, but I do think big picture, there's something to be encouraged about.
No, absolutely.
In this season, in the small picture of this season, that was a bad loss, and that may have just knocked them right out of the playoff picture.
It's funny.
And that's bad, but big picture for the franchise, this could be a good thing.
I think the moral victory Monday, if I'm not mistaken, was Green Bay.
Okay.
And now that we look back,
they were close with the third.
Now that we look back, it wasn't a moral victory Monday. Now that we look back, it was a massively missed opportunity to beat a team that's not as good as we thought.
Right.
Like, we thought that team was good, taking them to overtime with the third-string quarterback. We said moral victory Monday. I wouldn't consider Baltimore a moral victory Monday. You had three turnovers, your last three drives in a game you could have won. And I remember, I think it was after that Green Bay game, I was like, okay, well, I'm done with moral victory Mondays. The next moral victory Monday opportunity is against Buffalo.
Right.
Again, it's got to be a team that is much better than you, that you play well and just lose at the end because they're better than you. I think this team's better than you, the Minnesota Vikings. But you didn't play well enough for me to call this a moral victory Monday. You absolutely melted. You looked like a team that had no clue how to win this type of game. You looked like a poorly coached football team. You made a bunch of mistakes. And I know the refs kind of screwed you. You fell on the wrong side of that a few times. But this is not a moral victory Friday. I'm sorry. You kind of handed that game over by stupid mental mistakes. Speaking of referees, let's do it next. The Hunter Henry catch. Was it a catch? Was it not a catch? We'll talk about it next.
WEEI. New England's
sports original.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.